You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Looking at two verses today. So far this calendar year, this is where we've been since the start of January. We have done a study on Matthew 6 from the Sermon on the Mount. And then we just finished a four-week series on Isaiah 53. That took us to Easter. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to conclude the Sermon on the Mount, Lord willing, as we jump into Matthew chapter 7. That will take us into June. But 2 weeks from now, where we are today, leaves us with 2 weeks right now in front of us. And so for the next 2 weeks, appropriately and excitedly, we're going to celebrate our 20th anniversary as a church. Our 20th anniversary is technically April 11th, when our first service was all those years ago. So that's this coming Thursday. So we're going to take the Sunday before, which is now, and then we're going to take the Sunday next week to kind of bookend our official anniversary to celebrate 20 years of grace. And whether you've been here the entire time, which there are many, or whether you are new to our church, maybe even in the last week, we're so glad that you are. And please understand, as we say 20 years of grace, it has been 20 years of grace. I remember so vividly our first Bible study at an office in Oakville with 18 people almost 21 years ago. I remember that. It is humbling. I remember vividly when Calvary Baptist Church voted to become HBC 20 and a half years ago. I remember the anticipation and the excitement, the challenge, but also the absolute joy in the end of when that took place. I remember with joy our first launch service almost exactly 20 years ago, and what a ride it has been to be here this entire time. I also remember our first church plant in 2009 as we sent out a bunch of people to plant again in what is now called Hope, Mississauga. And I remember so fondly, again, the process of doing that and all the things that we shared over these years as a church. And I'm actually so blessed, and I found out yesterday that our first sent out church planter was going to be with us today because he cares for us and he loves us. And so Pastor Ted and his wife Lindsay and their four boys are actually with us today too. And so I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to ask Pastor Ted, if you just come up right now and just join me here in the front. Can we give Ted a huge welcome and warm welcome for Ted here? Let's give it up for Ted. So glad. So glad. Amen. Amen. And let me just start with this too, just so we're kind of remembering and going back. And thanks for willing to do this, man. It's so good. But we have a picture, a little down memory lane here. Let's see that. Look at that. Isn't that great? It's like it was yesterday. Yeah. And we look the same age. Amen, church? Amen? Yeah. So this is actually Ted getting baptized again in the first kind of time for a church there. And man, the memories, and just, oh, it blesses me so much. I just want to take the opportunity. Ted's going to pray for our sermon right now. He's going to pray for our service. And but I just want to take a moment because our first church planner, Ted and Lindsay, were part of our original 18 people when we gathered in that office in Oakville 21 years ago almost, man. Hey, you've been such a good friend. I honor you today. I really do. Man, your faithfulness to the Lord, your, again, friendship in the gospel, your fervency for Jesus Christ, your faithfulness to the word of God and ministry to him too, I respect you so much. I'm so thankful. Like, we know what it takes to last this long and to have each other to do it. And Lindsay, we love you so much and we're so thankful. And now your family here, when this all began, you know, we had no kids. And just to see all that God has done. And so, Ted, with my heartfelt expression, I love you. I'm so thankful for you. And keep going. Hope Mississauga is killing it for Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for them, and they'll continue to do that. So we're so blessed. Amen. 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 So it would be a blessing and a joy if you would just pray for us right now and just marking where we are.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads. Mm-hmm. Let's pray together. Mm-hmm. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you filled with your Spirit. We come to you in the name of Jesus, recognizing that it's only because of grace that we can call you Father, that we can have your Spirit live inside of us, and that we can see the beauty and the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is only because of grace. And we celebrate today, Lord, 20 years of grace.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we recognize that by your grace, the story of this church family has has been welcomed into your broader story. When you revealed yourself to Moses, Lord, when Moses said, show me your glory, the first words out of your mouth is, the Lord is gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. The priests were to bless the people every day, that your face would shine on them and that your grace would be evident in their lives, Lord. Amen. We are saved by grace. We were dead in our sins, but you have saved us by grace, Lord. We marvel at your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you have done. When we think about the humble beginnings of this church getting started, who were we? What were we? We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know which way was up. All we knew was to depend on you. And you, Lord, have done far more abundantly than ever we could have asked or thought, Lord. Amen. We thank you and we praise you. Mm-hmm. And Father, on that first Sunday morning, Lord, as Robbie got on his knees, as he prayed that you would speak through him, Lord, we thank you for 20 years of endurance, 20 years of perseverance, 20 years of joy, even in the midst of some hardships and many victories, Lord. I thank you for the way that you have protected and preserved Robbie and Jill and their children, the other elders here, the staff, Lord. The leaders, Lord. The deacons. Lord, we thank you for your abundant grace. And so, Lord. Father, I thank you that for the past 20 years, Lord, you have used my brother Robbie to be a vessel, Lord. Not to merely be a man talking about God, but to have God speak through a man and to allow him to continually humble himself before you, to desire nothing more than to have your word go out with clarity and with truth, Lord. And Father, we thought the world was dark 20 years ago. It's darker than ever. Lord, we thought the gospel was, the message was urgent 20 years ago. It's more urgent than ever. But Lord, your grace was amazing 20 years ago, and it's amazing now. Some of us were here 20 years ago, and we know when we are there for 10,000 years, we will have no less days to sing of your amazing grace than when we first begun. Lord, we love you. Lord, we pray that as it has for so many years, Lord, use your servant and allow your word to go out with power and clarity today. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Oh, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you, amen. Ted. Amen. You, amen. That's so good. Thank you. Yeah, amen. Amen. I'm going to need a Kleenex. Oh, thanks so much. There's faithful Louis. Bless your heart. So thank you. Yeah, that's great. That is so great. So thanks for bearing with. Yeah. So it's a big deal. You think of this is, I just want to say this. I just want to say this publicly too. Ted and Lindsay, all the boys are here today. I love your parents so much, okay? And your dad, I'm so for him, all right? So God's using him, continue to. You're so, so blessed to have a mom and dad like them, all right? So yeah. Ted, you tell my kids that too after, okay? So yeah. Oh, man. That's so great too. All right, so as we, again, remember 20 years of grace, what I love about this is our vision has always been so blessedly simple. What's our vision been these past 20 years? It's been exalt Jesus Christ as high as possible. It's been proclaim the authority of God's word and don't apologize for it. It's been to pray, and then pray some more. It's been to depend on the Holy Spirit and beg him to fill us. It's been to share the gospel and to love people with the gospel and long to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to grow in Jesus Christ here and across the world. And that's essentially it. This has been our vision again from the beginning, so simple yet so beautiful and so profound, a simple, beautiful, biblical vision, listen, that I pray never changes. I pray never, ever changes. And I just take this moment right now to passionately exhort the next generation. Listen, we have sought to be faithful to what God has entrusted to us based on his word and the clarity and the simplicity of what he has had in his, again, in his awesome instruction of the Bible. Young people right now, I exhort you today, listen, you need to be next. You need to be next to stand up and to grab the baton. You need to be next to stand up and not come up with something new. Young people, resist the temptation to come up with something new that the world might think is attractive. Always stay with what is true. Stay with Jesus. Stay with his word. Stay with prayer. Stay with the Holy Spirit. Stay with the ways of Jesus Christ and the wisdom of Jesus Christ, and you are guaranteed to be blessed. You are guaranteed to be opposed. You are guaranteed to live at a cost,
You are guaranteed to suffer for Jesus' name, but you are guaranteed to be filled with the joy and the power and the Spirit of God as long as you tap into the living water and the wells of faith that God has instructed from the beginning. That is where our church has been, and again, I pray that is where our church never, ever, ever leaves. The basic, simplistic, beautiful vision of those things that God always has always worked in, and He will always work in, and longing to see faithful people that will simply be obedient to His word and seek to give glory to His name. So we have witnessed 20 years of grace, and today we are believing God for more. And that's our sermon title today, 20 Years of Grace and Believing God for More. Now remember this too, right? We're sitting here right now, so many different backgrounds, you know, so many different people in different situations. Understand this theologically speaking, it's not a matter of if God will do more. God is always doing more. He is always on the move. All of history proves that. So it's not a matter of if God is going to do more. The question is, whom will He choose to use again in this process of doing more? God is always working, always moving, always growing, always transforming, always building His church, always. He's always doing more. So therefore, we must continue to believe God for more. What does that mean, more? In the end of the day, it means more of Him. More of Jesus Christ, and we are good. Ephesians 3, verse 20, take a look here. Here's our wonderful passage for today. It says this, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." And all God's people said, amen. Amen, right here in the text. Amen. So be it. I agree. May it be so. So good and so healthy for us in 20 years of grace to be in this text. Our first of 2 points is this. Simple today, I pray though, encouraging today. Point number one, 20 years of grace and we believe God for more. Listen, far more. We believe God for more, far more, far more. So question for you. Have you read verse 20? And I'm serious about this. I mean, like, have you really read verse 20? Or maybe I can ask it this way. Do you believe verse 20? Or do you really believe verse 20? Again, maybe let me ask the question this way. Does your level of faith align with verse 20? Does your passion correspond to the truth of verse 20? Has your anxiety taken a beating according to the reality of verse 20? Do your prayers rise to the level of the truth in verse 20? How about this? Is your worship in tune with verse 20? Does your voice sing with the volume that should be expected in line with the truth of verse 20? I'm just asking because I don't believe a lot of Christians have actually read verse 20, or if they have actually believed verse 20. Or at least we often don't look like it or act like we've read and really believed verse 20. I think after all that, maybe we should read verse 20 again, huh? Take a look. "Now to Him who is able," listen, "to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us." So here's Paul in one of his incredible doxologies. A doxology is doxa, glory, and logos, to speak. It's to speak of glory. As Paul has done in a few other places in the New Testament, what he's climbing a ladder of theological truth. He gets in the elevator. He goes to the very top floor. His passion for God starts to bubble over. He can't contain himself. He's over the moon with faith and worship and clarity of the goodness and power and glory of God. It's the riches of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that overwhelm him. It's the sovereignty and power of God that overcomes him. It's the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that consumes him. It's the all-surpassing love of God that floods him. And so Paul basically loses it again, and he's declaring and speaking of the unstoppable nature of our awesome God, his unlimited power, and the heart of God, listen, the heart of God to work within his church according to the power at work within us. It's an astounding verse. And I challenge you today to read it in a way you've never read it before. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly. It's interesting, far more abundantly, Paul essentially makes up a new term in the Greek to express the reality of God's power. So commentators struggle in a good way to fully articulate what this phrase means. So different translations just to encourage us. NIV, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Amazing. Maybe you grew up with that verse like I did. New Revised Standard, now to him by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more. They're trying to articulate again this phrase. New Living, through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Amazing. Young Living Translation, and to him who's able above all things, do exceedingly abundantly what we ask or think according to the power at work within us. This phrase is a big deal. F.F. Bruce, he says, this is one of Paul's super superlatives because this truth, he is able to do far more abundantly. It exceeds measure or description. Listen to how commentators flush out the meaning of this phrase far more abundantly. Again, they're trying to wrestle it down and kind of capture its full meaning. So they say things like this. It means intense meaning of adding idea of exhaustlessness or exceeding some number of measure, over and above, more than necessary, means surpassing, super abundantly, beyond measure, exceeding, quite beyond all measure, overwhelming, over and above, more than enough. It describes an extraordinary degree involving a considerable excess over what would be expected. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly. I saw this week too. Maybe this will be helpful and encouraging to you as well. Just the progression of theological power that's coming from this phrase. God is able to do what we ask and think. Able to do all that we ask and think. Able to do above all we ask or think. Able to do abundantly above all we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly above all. Oh, yeah, this would be great to have in the bathroom mirror in the morning, wouldn't it? Maybe you want to do that. This would be great to have somewhere in our cars we're driving in the morning to remind ourselves of how awesome our God is. How can we limit a limitless God? This is very, very important here, man. We get in the way often. What's very important here is we understand this, church. The more we grow in Christ, okay? One of the ways we know that we're growing in Christ, the more we should be thinking and living by one word, more. Or you might say two words, far more. So let's get this theological truth in our hearts right now, okay? This is very, very important. You never truly look at God and say less. That never happens. You always look at God theologically and spiritually, and we will say more, far more. Again, it's impossible to limit a limitless God. As we've said at 20 Years of Hope here, how can we praise small things from a God who can do all things? There's nothing he cannot do. There's no one he cannot say. There's nowhere he cannot go. There's no life he cannot transform. There's no situation that he cannot bring about. Now, as we remember and are so thankful for 20 years of grace, are we thankful for what God has done over the past 20 years? Yes. Are we satisfied? No. No. Because there's so much more. We are taught to be content spiritually in terms of material and the possessions of the world. We're taught to be content and to not love money. But listen, the Bible commands us to not be content spiritually in terms of our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always further we can go in pursuit and love and affection of our awesome God. Let's make it personal right now. Am I thankful for the grace of God in my marriage over these past many decades? Absolutely, I am. Do I want more grace in my marriage? Absolutely, yes, I do. Are we thankful for the salvation that we've seen over these past two decades? 100%. Do we want more? 100% we want more. There must be more. Too many lives dead. Too many lives lost. Too many people stuck in misery and death because of sin. Are we thankful for the presence of God filling and leading our lives over these past 20 years? Of course we are. Do we long for more of God's presence? Of course we do. We must. Now, will you accuse me of being spiritually greedy? Will you accuse me of looking around and saying, hey, man, there's a lot that's happened. Maybe you should just kind of relax and be content. Well, have you looked at Ephesians 3, verse 20? In fact, instead of accusing me or someone else of saying spiritual greedy, I might turn to the person accusing me of being spiritually greedy, and I might accuse them of having small faith. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, in our translation, far more abundantly than all we could ever ask or think, imagine, or conceive, according to the power at work within us. And that's what verse 20 says. Look at the second half of verse 20. According to the power at work, notice, within us. Wow, 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 wow. So once again, here's the Bible explaining us, what is the source for more? The source for more is, again, God. Imagine that. God is the source for more. See, so this is key too. So, or at least too many Christians experience limited fruit in their lives. Why? Why? Why do so many Christians experience limited fruit? You're today, you're right now. And you're like, I'm just not seeing the fruit in my life that I want. I'm just not seeing the fruit of my life that I think I should have, because too many Christians simply rely on self. That's it. They rely on self. They believe in God. They come to church every now and then. They do a couple of things. But at the end of the day, their strategy for life is made of flesh. There's no prayer. There's little time in the Word. Not using their giftedness and serving the church, not contributing to the kingdom. There's no actual affection or devotion. The entertainment role in their lives of the things of the world far outweighs any passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ. So because of their reliance on the flesh, there's no fruit coming from their lives. The power of God is the power that works within us, but to tap into Jesus Christ and to pursue him that we might see his fruit come from our lives. Hear me again, hear me again. We got one chance to live right now. I exhort you as I exhort myself every day, in my own temptation to live for self and live in the flesh. If we do not spend time with Christ and love Christ and pursue Christ and pray to Christ and devoted to Christ, we will not see the fruit of Christ in our lives. It is that simple. It is that profound. But you tap into God's power, look out. You tap into God's power and you seek him. See, the Bible's never a check mark. Loved ones, it's never a check mark of something I do and I go on to the rest of my to-do list. It is an absolute source of life for the voice of God and the presence of God to have prayer for God flood my life and bear fruit through my heart and soul. The power at work within us. It's incredible here. The eyes of faith look at this passage in verse 20 and they're like, I'm getting fired up, man. I'm getting fired up for all the things that God can do. Look at our context here. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 14. We should know this. Paul says in this incredible prayer, he says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And listen to this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What? It's got to be a typo, eh? It's got to be a typo. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God, and then, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we can ask or think according to the power at work within us. Astounding. This is where biblical theology can be super helpful and super encouraging too. The presence of God, the glory of God, the Spirit of God. Originally in Eden, then tarnished by sin, Adam and Eve banished from the garden. God's plan was to reestablish his presence among his people. He did that first through the tabernacle. the presence of God, again, consisted within the tabernacle where the people would go in his Shekinah glory, and what was there in the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle became the temple. And then the temple, again, when Jesus Christ came, he came as the true temple. Jesus Christ on earth, the temple. Jesus Christ ascends to heaven after he is raised from the dead, but then he does not leave us as orphans. He sends his Holy Spirit to indwell again all of his followers and children. And we now, in Jesus Christ, are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwelling in us. I mean, just think about that right now. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we can ask or think, according to his power at work within us, because as genuine followers of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. The power of God's Spirit residing in us. I think our expectations of faith should grow a little more than what they are. I think our expectation of what God can do through an individual life and then collectively with his church should become more than what they currently are. It's astounding. It's beautiful. So what's happening right now in verse 20? Here's what's happening. God is knocking on the more door. The question is, are you going to answer? Are we going to answer? How do you answer the more door when God is knocking? You got to get rid of the sin, man. You got to get rid of the sin that entangles. You got to get rid of the stuff of the world that's poisoning our affection for Jesus Christ. You got to get rid of that, the lust that is ruining your heart and stealing your joy. You got to get rid of the sin that is ruining again your pursuit of Jesus Christ and the desire again to pray to him and to seek his word. You got to get rid of the things that are getting in the way, obstacles for us pursuing and being in the presence of God. I'm telling you, you got one life to live right now. Put off the old self that seeks to bring us down and discourage us and again destroy the reality of the goodness that Jesus Christ wants to bear fruit within us. Throw off the sin. Listen, leave the doubt behind. Leave the apathy behind in Jesus' name. Leave the cynicism. Leave the self behind to pursue, to love the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we answer the more door, to believe God for more. Now, this is so key to me. Many people in different places, man, God says, man, I want to do far more abundantly you can ask or imagine. Like, that sounds amazing. But please understand this, because we interpret the Bible with the Bible. If you answer the door that God is knocking on right now for more of him in your life, listen, you are not answering a door to ease. And you are not walking through a door of comfort all the time. And you are not walking through a door everyone's going to like you. In fact, you are walking through a door that is promised to not be easy. It's hard. It's narrow. You are walking through a door that's promised to have trials. You are walking through a door that is promised that not everyone will like you and some people will hate you because you're pursuit of Jesus Christ. But when you answer the door for more, you are also walking through a door of absolutely guaranteed blessing. The joy of God, the favor of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the fullness of God, the blessing of God. And he's the only one who can give it. He's the only one who can provide it. His name is Jesus Christ. So we have believed. And as a church, we must continue to believe God for more. 20 years of grace and we believe God for more. Point number two in our second of 2 points today is, and to God be the glory. And to God be the glory. Look at verse 21 now. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Notice that, to him be the glory. So good, eh? What does it mean, to him be the glory? Well, the idea behind the word glory, again, is doxa. It's the manifestation in the Old Testament. Glory was primarily the brightness or the radiance of God's presence. So when we speak of glory, we're speaking of the true nature and likeness of God. This is key too, eh, church? So when we give God glory, we're not adding to God. I mean, you can't add to perfection. What we are doing is declaring, we're giving glory to God, and we're acknowledging, declaring who he is already and what he has done already. You don't add to God, but you are recognizing, acknowledging the awesome work and glory and brightness and perfection and splendor and majesty of God, right? This is why the psalmist says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. You see the heavens. You stand before the awesome work of creation, and the only natural explanation you can give is glory to God. He's the only one who can do it. That's why so many of our screensavers are built with natural creation settings that stir our hearts to the beauty that's in front of us, because we long to give glory to the Lord. It's so interesting, eh, that so many people, our entire world is longing for God's glory, whether they know it or not. Know this, to every single person who's ever been born is longing to ascribe glory. But what happens then? What happens? That's so true. It's our sin that messes it up. Why do you think we're so prone to worship as human beings, right? Why do you think that? As human beings, everyone worships something. Everyone has a church. For some, it's the golf club. For some, it's a bar. Everyone worships on some level. We long to worship things. We long to worship people. Why? Because we're longing for so much more. That's why. Because we're longing. We're created to long for more. One of my favorite quotes on this kind of stuff is by John Piper, and he says, "We all starve for the glory of God, not self. No one goes to the Grand Canyon to increase self-esteem." I love that, eh? Yeah, like, I've been in the Grand Canyon. I don't all walk to the edge of the Grand Canyon and say, "I am awesome," right? Like, no one does that. You walk to the Grand Canyon, you're humbled, and you're like, "I'm small. I am nothing." You don't think of self when you're in those situations. You are looking out, and you're like, there is so much greater things. I am so small and a speck in that way. When you stand before a star-dusted sky, and in the mid of winter or summer, whatever it may be, and you see the glory of the stars, your heart is lifted up out from self to acknowledge again Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, who upholds the universe by the word of his power. That is when it is fulfilled and satisfied. The glory belongs to him, be glory, not to self. Piper finishes here, "Why do we go? Because there's a greater healing for the soul in beholding splendor than there is in beholding self." But notice this. This is so key for our day. Our world, more than ever right now in this nation, is say, worship self. Self is the great idol of our day. You are the answer. It's in you. Believe in self. You can do it. Trust what's in your heart. It's all about you, be whatever you want to be. It's self, self, self. That is a lie from the pit of hell. This is what Satan does to take people away from the reality of purpose and joy and fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we worship self, this is why suicide rates among young people are never higher in nation than right now. Because the more we worship self, the more we pursue emptiness. We cannot satisfy ourselves ever, ever. It doesn't work. It'll never work. It's never worked. It'll never work. This is why we long for something more. To him be glory, not us be glory. Not to us, O God, but to you be the glory, the psalmist said. When our glory is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, the maker of the heavens and the earth, this is when purpose and satisfaction and joy is beheld within our own lives. This is when lives are changed. Verse 21, to him be glory. To him be glory. Notice in the church. So let your theology lead to life change and worship. The church is to manifest the glory of God. Amazing. To him be glory in the church. The place of his glory is to be in his church. So just think about that. Remember, glory is the manifestation of the nature and likeness of the presence of God. This is to be seen in the church. The church is designed to reveal his glory. Now, the church will do this in heaven 100%, but the church is to do this now as well. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 14, and it speaks of where the unbeliever comes into the midst and senses God is really among you, and they fall on their face and declare that truth. The Lord God Almighty is among you. I have seen his glory. The glory being manifested through the church. Interesting question though right now. To him be glory in the church. The church is to manifest the glory of God. How do we do that? How does that happen? Well, think about it. Who is the radiance of the glory of God? Jesus Christ. So therefore, simply but profoundly, the more we change, are conformed into Christ's image, then the more we reflect his glory. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 says it so well here too. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. We behold his glory. We are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Notice, from one degree of glory to another. We behold his glory. We are transformed into Christ. And we are changed and show his glory. From one degree of glory to another. It's so amazing. So let's break down really in simple terms then. The more we love in Jesus' name, the more we believe, the more we obey, the more we serve, the more we sing, the more we set our affections on him, to him be glory in the church. To him be glory in the church. Man, imagine we all did that. Imagine we all gathered here on a weekly basis and our week was filled with the pursuit of Jesus Christ, loving him, serving him, seeking to obey him, confessing our sins before him, using our gifts in the church, loving people outside, sharing the gospel. When we come in here together, man, that is a collective manifestation of the glory of God. To him be glory in the church. But notice in verse 21, it continues and says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Of course, right? Because again, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. So you can't see the glory in the church without Jesus Christ. They always go together. Always, 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 always. Jesus Christ must be connected in this regard. You cannot give God glory apart from his son, Jesus Christ, in the church. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. If you don't know Christ, you don't get in to his church. Because Jesus Christ is the savior of the church. So the Father gets glory through salvation. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, again, the church is the bride of whom? It's the bride of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom of the church. So Jesus, if you don't know this, and we say this a lot of our time, Jesus Christ is everything. He is everything. He is so beautiful and so awesome and so wondrous and so glorious. Jesus Christ is everything. So to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. So the more we love Jesus Christ, the more our life radiates, again, the glory of God. Let me say this as clearly as I can. This is why the greatest thing you can do with your life, the greatest thing you can do with your life is to love Jesus Christ. I challenge you right now in the midst of what we're learning here and 20 years of grace and remembering what God has done and believing God for more as we go forward in the future. Men, women, and children right now, the greatest thing you can do with your life is to love Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Put the world down, pick up Jesus Christ. Put down your car keys. Put down your cell phone. Put down your social media. Put down your video games. Put down your shopping spree. Put down believing that your next vacation is going to be the answer to your life. You must put that down. You must pick up Jesus Christ. The other things will never satisfy. Jesus Christ is the only one who does. He's the only one who can fulfill the ultimate desires that we have. One life to live in the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one, again, who is true fulfillment, the one who satisfies. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. And then look at the rest of verse 21. It says, again, throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. So remember this too, loved ones, okay? Human beings come and go. Human beings come and go. But the glory of God is forever. Forever and ever throughout all generations. I know it's hard to believe. But the glory of Taylor Swift will not last forever. In fact, you know what's true? The glory of Taylor Swift is going to fade fast and hard. Like, listen, just like every other human being who's ever lived before her. Taylor Swift will come and go. The glory of Jesus Christ endures through all generations. History has proven that again and again and again. We're like, I'm not a real Swiftie. What about Dwayne Johnson? His glory will also fade. What about Ronaldo? Same thing. The grass withers and the flower fades. They spring up and they're gone like that. You're like, surely Ariana Grande for sure. No. Her glory is going to fade, man. Beyonce, her too. Her too. Every single person, again, other than Jesus Christ, their glory, listen, this is so important for us. Young people, all of us right now, okay? The glory of humanity is worthless. The glory of Taylor Swift is worthless. It is pointless. It has no, by the way, if you send me Taylor Swift emails this week, I'm not answering them, all right? I have no time for that. I have no time for that whatsoever, okay? Maybe some of my staff might, no. Anyway, the glory of Taylor Swift is worthless. The glory of Jesus Christ is matchless. It lasts forever and ever throughout all generations. So the wisdom says, listen, why would you worship a glory that is worthless? Why would you worship something that has no point in the end? As followers of Jesus Christ, we say, I don't want to do that. I will not do that. I will worship the one, again, who is matchless in value and treasure. The one whose glory that has never faded and will never diminish. The one whose glory that continues to shine throughout all generations. The one whose glory that is preeminent, that cannot be lessened or tarnished. The one whose glory that will soon shine for the whole world to see, where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. And listen, his glory is why we exist. It's why this church exists. Jesus, we exist for your glory. Father, we exist to give glory to you, to your Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So listen, 20 years of grace. I think of back 20 years, man, it's something else. It means a lot to me because there's a lot there. My wife and I, we're trying to take some moments right now just to look back and just to think of 20 years. I'm so glad Ted and Lindsay are here right now. It means so much to me. I'm so thankful, but it's also so humbling. The grace of life change, the grace of salvation that we've seen over all these years, the grace of baptisms, hundreds of baptisms, the grace of sanctification and lives being transformed in Jesus Christ, the grace of church plants over the years, the grace of missions expanding and giving to the kingdom, the grace of kingdom impact across this world, the grace of renewal and so many lives, renewal in the Holy Spirit and forms of revival that we've seen over these years, the grace of extraordinary testimonies of hope again and again and again. We've seen a lot over 20 years. But we pray for more. We pray for far more. Why? Because our world desperately needs Jesus Christ. And he's not done. Listen, Jesus Christ is not done building his church. Therefore, neither are we. And until he returns, our mission remains the same. We ask God and we beg him for more of Jesus Christ. And with that, we say to him be the glory. This is where we've been, and I pray, Lord, don't ever let us leave. Don't ever let us leave. The simplicity of the biblical vision that has brought us thus far may continue on to the next generation and the next generation. Help us, God, to do that. I think what's so fitting, and this is, again, the final Sunday of our 20 years. This is the last Sunday of our 20 years, and Lord willing, next Sunday we start the beginning of 20 more. I think it's so fitting as we do that is to take some time to pray as a church. I'm going to put a slide up on the screen for you right now. It's very simple. It's been explained in detail today. I'm going to encourage you strongly, if you are willing to be in groups of two or three or four, whatever it is, people that you came with today, if you desire to pray by yourself and just to be quiet in that sense, that's totally fine. You can do that. There's no pressure here. But wouldn't it be awesome to hear the voices of God's people praying for what? Asking for more, far more, what? Ultimately, more of Jesus Christ. And then in all this, we say, God, to you be the glory. When you do more in our midst, we pray to you be the glory. So we're going to take 2 or 3 minutes before we respond powerfully with our final song. And again, I'm going to ask you to pray in groups for these things and pray fervently and passionately for what the Lord can do. So let's just take a few moments right now and let's pray. Let's thank him and ask him.